For those of you who don't know me, my name is John Archer. I live in Juarez, Mexico. We started a couple of businesses, Christian radio station ministry. It's what God's called me to do, to develop the youth of developing nations. Amen. To work with the youth of developing nations. So we carry it out. I was praying about what to speak on, and of course, you know, it's not easy. But last week, David, how many here weren't here last week? If you weren't here last week, get on the podcast. If you, I'm just suggesting you, Dr. David Stone, who's married to Cammie Stone, he preached a great message on the power of the blood. So I felt led to bounce a little bit off that. And today's message is apply the blood. There's power in the blood. There's just as much power today as there was last Sunday. It's no more diluted. It's just going to be as much power tomorrow and so on. And there's a lot of things we don't understand. There's a lot of questions we don't ask. But we are a church that there's a corporate mandate that we don't need our wise answer to have peace with God. And I'm going to talk about blood clotting and infection because there's people that freeze frame in a tragedy. And I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about stagnation. And time does not heal all wounds. In fact, sometimes infections are worse with time. There's people that are 50, 60 years old, and they're more bitter now than they divorced 30 years ago because time does not heal, but he does. The deepest part of your body is the bone marrow. And from the bone marrow produces platelets. There is a deep place in God that can stop the blood clotting, that can stop the infection. But it's a deep place. If you read Psalms and David and what he went through, it wasn't light. Jesus told the prophecy over Mary, it says, a sword will pierce your heart. And there was the mother of Jesus in front of watching him be crucified on the cross. And how could good come out of that? But then he rose again. Friends, 1,000 years from now, wise won't matter. In fact, people say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask. No, actually, it won't matter. Alan is not questioning the goodness of God today. Now, he doesn't have it today. He has eternity. Alan knows God is good more than we do. He's not trusting his trust or his faithfulness or his love. Amen. But there is power in the blood, but it needs to be applied. You can have the most powerful thing, a diesel, like we have some buses in Mexico and stuff, and I go start them. They're powerful. They can hold 50 people, but they have to be started. So we talk about the blood or we can think about the blood, but it needs to be applied. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, so this is when he was on the earth, it says, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. So here's Jesus going in the synagogue. It was at that time. And Jesus is standing there and he's reading, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's current. It was not a prophecy. He was talking about it now. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Many of us need a healing today of our broken hearts. That was not a prophecy then. It was a now prophecy. But we have to apply the blood. So I was asked, John, how do you deal with this? How do you go? Well, first of all, I allow myself to cry and weep. Now, this is not a message about here's the six things. Because everybody grieves different, but not everybody heals. Many people do not heal. They are stuck in that picture. I remember when, they never move on. And Alan would not want that. And God does not want that. I was talking to someone 4 or 5 months ago, and she said, you know, I go, do you believe in God? She goes, I did, but I had a miscarriage. And I prayed to God. He didn't answer. Then I had another miscarriage, and he didn't answer, and I don't believe God. There are millions of people walking this planet, because God is not American, millions of people that go through tragedy that blame God. So we will heal different, we will grieve different, but I tell you as a church what we won't do. We won't stop praying for the sick. We won't stop believing for, there are people in this room that will see people raised from the dead. We won't stop trusting God. We won't stop loving God. We won't blame God. We will not critique him. We will not blame ourselves or critique ourselves. Some of you need to forgive yourself. If I woulda, shoulda, coulda. And I'm just not talking about this tragedy, friends. I'm talking about tragedies in life. There are men that carry a father's wound that's infected. And they sit in church week after week and week. And they never apply the healing power of the blood. Because salvation, the Bible says, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. It is a choice to let him in for salvation, and it is a choice to allow him to heal your heart. He is a good father. There are men who grew up with a bad father, and they never see God as a good father because they're dead. Friends, we do not, earth is not our answer. The kingdom of God is in us, and it flows from us. Now, it hurts. This is not, I will never get over it. I'm not talking about never having the memory. I'm talking about not being tied to it where we can't move forward. We will carry the things that he has. Alan has instilled many things in us. Amen. He wants us to go to this level and that level and prophesy. I have many trips. I've known him for over 20 years. I was a roommate for. Don't forget dollar epicenter her life. I had to joke at his memorial service because if I went another way, I would weep. It's real, but so is the healing power of God. You know, a lot of people are confused about heaven, you know, and I just want to read something in Revelation. For them to read. And if I feel like I'm skipping around a little bit, there's people in here where God wants to heal our hearts where we're not stuck on just why. If you need your why answered, you will never go forward. We need to look to Jesus. And so Mary is at the cross, and that was the biggest why. The disciples fled, and there was John, and Jesus said, "Woman, behold your son, son, behold." God is not leaving us without nothing. God is with us. And grace is not just grace. Grace empowers us to accomplish what he has called us to accomplish. Amen. And I was in, I just got some news. My friend was in Mexico, and he says a pastor just got hit by a pastor and his wife and his kid. Friends, you can't explain that. And if you try to, you make it worse. But the heaven now is temporary. The heaven where Alan is, it is a temporary. The Bible says in Revelation 21, "And I saw a new heaven after the judgments, judgment seat of Christ, great white throne. Great white throne, sinners are judged. The judgment seat of Christ, we're not judged, our works are judged." That's a big difference between saying, "You lied, you're a liar." That's not our identity. Our works are judged. Amen? It says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.' Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said to me, 'It is done.'" On the cross, he said, "It is finished." That was our payment for our salvations and sin. When it was all said, "It is done." There is two different things. So it's a new heaven and a new earth. Dr. David Stone last week, he talked about platelets and blood clotting. And he says white blood cells fight the infection. They run about 5,000. And then you're in your blood. But when there's an infection, when there is a tragedy, when there is sorrow in our hearts, the blood of Jesus increases to that area. It's always flowing, always moving, but it goes right to the necessary point of the infection. Friend, my heart is broken, but Jesus came to bind the brokenhearted. What we don't want to do is isolate ourselves, critiquing, questioning, wondering how. You will go down a road that he does not want you to go in, and you will be stagnant, and you will be frozen. You will get older, your kids will grow up, but you will be in that place of tragedy, and you will not be able to move on. God will not be able to give you new things because your hands are holding old things. Behold, Moses died. The first thing he told Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, arise." He didn't say, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, you'll never enter the promised land." Moses, everything he trusted on. You got to remember, Moses is the one that carried him out. Moses is the one that went to the mountain. But as Moses got his instruction, the Bible says Joshua dwelled in the temple. Why? Because Joshua walked with his presence. Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, arise." Friends, Alan is gone, but we need to arise and press into revival like never before. The devil thinks he can put a gravestone over this church. He's greatly mistaken. He thought he could do that on the cross. Jesus is dead, not knowing that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. See, what you do with tragedy matters to your future. And I'm not talking 6 weeks from now. I'm talking now. Because the decisions you make for tragedy will affect your future. There are people in churches stagnant. Stagnant. Going to heaven, but they're freeze-framed at that moment. You can't see it. Somebody comes in a wheelchair. Oh, they need healing. Somebody comes in with bitterness. You don't see it. They need emotional healing. Where'd that come from? 60 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Because they didn't let the deepest part of God, where the bone marrow is, to flow into that place to stop. First, you stop the clotting, the platelets. There's a bleeding, and they bleed. They bleed. Why? How could that happen? How can I lose my kid? They're bleeding. And if you're constantly bleeding, you're weak. And they're weak. They don't pray the same. They don't worship the same. They don't love the same. They don't care the same. Because they're stuck. Thank God Joseph wasn't stuck. An unforgiveness. Thank God Jesus wasn't stuck with Judas. And if you think Jesus was just tempted once, the Bible says Satan went away in the desert for a more opportune time. When you are sitting alone and the pain comes back, what do you do with that pain? You allow yourself to cry and allow yourself to grieve. The Bible says we grieve, but not like those who have no hope. There is a difference. There is a difference. If you're not saved and you go to unsafe funeral, grieve. Do whatever you can. Think they're there. But we know we will be reunited again one day forever. And God is eternal. And if you're eternal, everything is a blip to you. 18 billion years is the blip. He has no beginning and he has no end. And when it's final in the new heaven and the new earth, friends, it won't matter. But here it matters. So how do we carry that pain and that grief and that heartache? Jesus says, I come to bind the brokenhearted. And there was many brokenhearted that didn't come to Jesus. There was many that healed it. So salvation, it's a choice. I stand at the door and knock. Open. And we open ourselves to healing. Why? Because the Holy Spirit. But God is sovereign. He's sovereign. But in his sovereignty, he set up choice. And you can allow him to go this far and no more. God, you can come in the kitchen. You can come in the living room. You can in the backyard. But you can't come in my bedroom. And there's areas of our hearts we close off to him. Wounds. Things that happen as children. But he is able, that blood flows, and when there's an infection, the white blood, and Pastor David Stone says almost instantly 24 hours, it can go from 5,000 to 20 to 20, whatever's needed. Whatever is needed, the blood will flow to that area and bring healing, if we allow it. For some people reading the Psalms, some people worshiping, but I tell you what does not work. What does not work is trying to have your questions answered. That will never be. This person says this. This person says that. Friends, it could actually make it worse. I want to read you something about the platelets. The platelets will stop the clotting because the first thing, when there's a wound, you have to put pressure and you want to stop the bleeding. And before you get surgery, and if it's really bad, we need surgery. Like many of us need open heart surgery this morning. I do. We do. Open heart surgery. This is a serious thing. It's not light. It's not, I'm not going to go. Some people just, they do activities quick, trying to get over it, but still they're infected. It's not the same. And for platelets, it says the main function of the platelets, that's in the bone marrow, that's a deep, to prevent blood loss, which is critical for survival. There can be many causes of blood loss. For example, platelets can come together at the affected area and seal off the wounded during an injury. Don't suffer alone. Like the other day, I was with Dan and Alicia, we were crying, it felt so good. You know, don't suffer alone, they come together. We are here together, amen? They do this through a process called clotting, which stops the blood flow. The platelet and they actually change shape. Platelets, because it looks like a plate, they actually get tentacles and grow. They change shape. God will be whatever you need him to be at that moment. The God who heals, boom. The God who provides, ram, boom. They gave God names. Well, he was always those things, but they needed it at that moment. And we need Jesus to be the one to heal the brokenhearted. And he says, today the scripture is, God knows, Jesus went through pain. He went through loneliness. He went through rejection. The Father separated from him. He said, why have you forsaken me? Jesus did not say that when he was getting whipped, when the crown was on his head, when he was spit on. He said that on the cross when the Father's presence turned from him. He knows what it's like to be separated from the Father. Jesus was separated from the Father so we never have to be. We are not separated from the Father at this moment. And the Holy Spirit, who is fully God on this earth, comes to heal and flow in our hearts if we allow it. Or you can choose your choice to live in that moment and stagnant, broken heart for the rest of your life. But I'm just not talking about this moment. I'm talking about healing that we need for other areas of our life. Because it just doesn't stop. You could have three infections and it can go to all three at the same time. Am I right, Dr. Stone? Am I right? At the same time. God is able to do wonderfully above all that we ask or seek. There's people in this house. Pastor Lena talks about emotional healing. Easy talked about physical. Both reside in this house. That we have emotional wounds that we cannot fully love God or receive his love because we had never received love from another person in our life. There's girls that grow up in unloving homes, and the first guy that comes along shows, affection. They think that is love. No, it's just, But God wants to heal our hearts in every single area. I will always carry Alan. But I'm not going to be frozen that moment. I have to go back to Mexico. The radio stations need to continue, all those things. And it's not just, are you over it? No, it's not about being over it. Are you healed? Are you healed and able? I can talk about it. We can laugh about it at times. I can cry. There'll be times I cry in the future. But it doesn't mean I'm stuck there blaming God. Do not critique God. Do not blame him, accuse him. That's what the devil wants you to do. The devil comes to destroy and then says, look what God does, and we believe it, that God did it. Even saying God allowed it, heaven needed another angel, all the things that stupid people say. Stupid stuff people say, they don't know. We don't know. This side of heaven, we say things that are ignorant. Ignorant. I don't know. But I do know this. He's just as good today as he was yesterday and three. He's not less good. The blood is not diluted. We're not going to stop praying for the sick. We're not going to stop seeing salvations. We're not going to stop going on mission trips, Paul and Nayeli. We're not going to stop praying. We're not going to stop seeing a revival. Those things will continue. When Jesus died, it increased. Why? Because the power, there's a death. If we died to ourselves, we died to our plans. Everything we thought, Moses, my servant, is dead. There's Joshua. Therefore, arise. As I was with Moses, so I should be with you. So it's not on Moses? No, it was the presence on Moses, Joshua. We thought it was this person or that person, this leader or that leader. It was his presence. Moses, my servant, how can I arise, God? Because as I was with Moses, I shall be with you. Joshua, you think Moses is the one who parted the Red Sea? It was me. And Moses was on the mountain getting instruction, and he went down to do the instruction. But the Bible says Joshua sat at the tent and lingered. Nobody told him. Nobody questioned him. Nobody did this. David was a worshiper far in the field, way before Saul. Moses, my servant, is dead, therefore arise. Why? Because Joshua, here's the deal. I just didn't want you out of Egypt. That was the step. I wanted you. So the revival is point Z. So we had to get you out of Egypt. Now we have to get you out of the desert to go in the promised land, because then you have to enter the promised land. And then when Joshua entered the promised land, what's the first thing he said? Go spy out the land, especially Jericho. He didn't go for the little, he went for the big. Why? Because he knew God was with him. Moses wasn't, God was. And if you think a person is the reason we're having a revival, friends, you are mistaken. God's servants go on to glory, but his work always continues. Wesley's not here. Finney's not here. Graham's not here. Alan's not here, but God is. It was his presence. What a shock to Joshua. His whole life, he thought he was going to enter with Moses. Moses was feared. Moses was powerful. Moses was anointed. Moses was amazing. In fact, if you look at it, the Jewish people, Moses is he's a patriarch, but he's dead. And the Bible says God buried Moses. So nobody knew who he was. Why? Because they would have carried the bones of Moses in and going, this is why we entered. Gideon, fearful man. does these great things. They made an ephod. The Bible says they worship the ephod. We are always worshiping other things than the one that actually did the reason we worship. It's the staff. It's Aaron. It's the snake. It's because you were raised in the palace. It's his presence. It's his presence. And this church goes after his presence, and we're not going to stop going after his presence. Certain people don't need to be here. I'm in Mexico, but his presence is still here. I left. It was an increase in the preaching team, anointing, healings. Why? Because it's not based on a person. It's based on his presence. So, Lord, I thank you. This is a place of your presence. And as your presence goes, Lord, into a place to heal every hurt, every wound, every sorrow, God. God, we don't keep you out. Just like we can choose not to choose salvation, we can choose you not to heal that area. Some people like being in sorrow. Friends, I am very sensitive. Yesterday, I went to the coffee shop to work on my message. I didn't. I just sat there and cried. I just cried and I let it out. People were looking at me like, what's going on there? You know, need some money. And there will be those times. But I'm allowing God, there's every area of our life. You're welcome to come in, Lord. God, and we love your presence. Unless your presence goes with us, we're not going. Unless your presence is here, we don't need to meet. If his presence doesn't come when we worship, we do not need to be here. You are wasting your time. Because his presence here, it's always an investment into your life. So I thank you, Lord. Our future is bright. It's good. We bless you today, God. We bless you. Let's just stand up. God, we bless you today. Dan, if you could play a little music for me. Thank you. Lord, we bless you today. When we don't know, we bless you, Lord. We worship you, God. We thank you for your presence in our lives, Lord. Tomorrow morning, tonight, we go with your presence. When we leave the doors, God does not live here. He does not live in these walls. He comes here because we are here, because we are here. If we came on Tuesday, he'd be here. If we came on Wednesday at 6 o'clock in the morning, he'd be here. He is here now because we are here, because he loves us. Lord, I thank you for your love. His love is never ending. His resources are unlimited. He knows right where to go and heal, what to say. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, arise. God, I'm trusting in your presence. It hurts. But we're not staying here looking at his bones. In fact, Satan, the Bible says Satan was fighting with Michael the archangel over the bones of Moses. And he said, the Lord rebuke you. And then Jesus was transfigured in the promised land. Who was there? Moses. Jesus brought Moses to where he needed to be. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Therefore, arise, Joshua. Therefore, arise, Epicenter. God, we thank you. We're taking your presence with us. And with you, all things are possible. Lord, we still thank you for one day we'll have a new building and many young people in other nations. I thank you for stadium events, God. I just thank you even for Juarez, God. I thank you for young kids and cartel families being saved. I thank you, God, we're not dependent on a person. We're dependent on your presence, God. We're dependent on your presence. We thank you for the mantles and your presence and things that stay here when they leave. We thank you for all the wells that have been digged before us. And we thank you for the old wells and we thank you for the new wells, God. Lord, we thank you for the legacy of Alan Clark that he left us. The legacy of pressing in. And I'm just reminded of this. I'm going to stand up here. It's like Alan would hit a worship song and he'd feel resistance. And he said, I'm not moving off this. Friends, we're not moving off revival. I'm not moving off this. I'm not moving off. God, we're not moving off your presence. Satan, you will not put a gravestone over this church. What are you going to do now? We're going to do the same thing we always did. We're going to seek his presence. We're going to walk in his presence. We're going to pray for the sick. We're going to keep loving people. We're never going to give up. We're going to keep moving forward, Kirk. We're going to have more finances and more young people. God, he will always be in the foundation and part of what the next level is, God. But he is not here. Therefore, we shall arise. So, Lord, I thank you for the legacy, but I thank you even more for your presence. It has never left us, nor will it. where there's an individual, but there's a corporate, where two or three. So Lord, I thank you. You are here today to heal hearts, to give hope. Hope is joyful, confident expectation. That's what it means in the Greek, not the English. God, we choose your definition. Joyful, confident expectation. And any wounds that we have not healed that are festering and stinky and leprosy. Some people, some of you can't even move that part where you used to be in ministry. You can't move that part because it's gangrene and it's hurting. And it's you served that last pastor and he hurt you. You didn't trust and you gave that money and you weren't blessed. And you went here. You're still frozen. You still live in 1960, 1970, 1980. That's where you live. Oh, you're existing here, but you're living back there. You're just existing. You are the walking dead, friends. You are just walking and you're not fully functioning. Not every part is moving. The man had a withered hand. Jesus wanted that whole. Every area of our life and body needs to be whole. He had a withered hand. He says, stretch out your hand. Not your leg. It was healed. That Aris, some people get burned in ministry and they never serve in ministry again. They can't even greet and welcome people because such and such pastor hurt you. Now that pastor becomes your God. And you said Moses is dead. And that's where you live. This is where he died. 1980, 1990, 1995. That tragedy, that miscarriage, that divorce. You live there. And you carry it. You look whole, you look normal, but that father wound when you were 10. My dad was not an easy man to live with, friends. I got saved at 13, but God did not ask my dad if I could be saved. He asked me, John, come to me. He didn't tell my dad, I have a plan for John. I need your approval. God does not need approval from men, women, your heritage. Some of you are grew up poor, nobody had a business, and you're living there. I can never accomplish more than this. And there's an imaginary tombstone over your life. This is the tragedy. This is where you live. This is where Moses died. Joshua could take you to the place where God spoke to him. Joshua showed me where Moses died. Take me to that place. I can't because I moved on from there. But I can tell you, God said, get up. Therefore, arise. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. God, we remove every tombstone over people's lives today. I'm sorry you went through that divorce. I'm sorry they said that. I'm sorry you were molested. It happens. There's things in the church we don't talk about, friends, but God's blood wants to flow that and heal us from those things. God, we will not live there and be freeze framed. Show me, Joshua, where Moses died. Show me the place. Let's build a memorial there. This is where Moses lies. This is where he is. That's the same place where he was, is the same place Joshua arose. So, Lord, I thank you. Your presence goes with us, before us, in us, around us. Some of you, when you sleep, God's going to wake you up and heal your hearts. And don't refuse him. Let him take you to that area. And his hand that touches you has a nail print in it. And when we get to heaven, there's no wheelchairs, there's no missing limbs, there's no one blind. The only scars in heaven that remain are the scars on Jesus. It's an eternal reminder. Because he suffered and was pierced, we don't have to be pierced. We don't have to just remain there. The body of Jesus, they took and put it in a tomb. He said 3 days and then he rose again. So Lord, I thank you for a resurrection in our hearts from every tragedy, everything. Does not mean Joshua never forgot Moses, but he did not live at his gravestone. There's a difference. The things Moses poured into Joshua, he carried, but he didn't carry the tombstone at the same time. Remember when Moses died? No, especially Jericho. Spy out the land. Now, Moses asked for a report. See, friends, we're not asking for a report. We're not asking for your opinion what you're going to do next. He said, spy out the land, especially Jericho. Boys, we're going in. With or without you, we're going in because I waited long enough. Moses goes, bring me a report. It's 10 spies. Joshua says, we're going in. Spy out the land, especially Jericho. Joshua says, we're going in, and the first thing we're going to take is the walled city. How do we take it? And God didn't say, it's too big, start small. He said, march around, don't talk, and on the seventh day, cheer in the walls, especially Jericho. So, Lord, we thank you for especially revival, signs, wonders, miracles, people being rise. I know Sabata and Court aren't here. You will see people rise from the dead. Yeah. David Hogan, who many of us listen to, rose the dead. After they rose many people from the dead, he said, I lost so many good people this year. 20 years, friends, you could just tell. He goes, we tried, but we didn't do it. They didn't rise. But he didn't stop. Wimber, Vineyard, Randy Clark, if they would have stopped at any time, you would never hear about their healing ministries because they didn't stop. God, we're not going to stop. We declare today we're never going to give up. Pastor Easy, we will never give up. We will never give up. The devil only attacks two things, what he's afraid of and what God loves. God loves marriage, man and woman, he attacks it. God loves Israel, attacks it. If God said he chose Stafford, he would attack Stafford. Epicenter Church, there's many churches the devil's not worried about. Friends, he is worried about us. So Lord, I just thank you. If you need to sit down, you can sit down. But I'm just going to let you be dismissed when you want to be dismissed. Because some of you just need to sit there and have a little conversation with God. God, I'm sorry for accusing you. You need to leave it here.